You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Joining me on a Thursday is Mike Musselman.
In your providence, Lord, we pray for all our war guardians.
Oh.
Watch today. Courage and strengthen them as they protect our country.
Everybody stay in their seats.
Finally, righteous God.
That's the chaplain reading the invocation from yesterday's Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I sent you a link.
I didn't want to read it.
Well,
that's just stupid.
You're what?
That's stupid.
The what's stupid?
I mean, that's just, I read that and and I'm like, well.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let me just explain to everybody what we're talking about. Earlier today,
okay.
There was a meeting. The general, what's his last name? His first name's Scott, and his last name's Miller, I believe. was present with the provincial governor of Kandahar, the head of security in Kandahar, who's a guy who's been around for a long time, really important guy in the South Afghanistan region, and then the intelligence chief. They're in a meeting, and then I guess towards the end of the meeting, somebody in one of their personal security details opens fire, killing supposedly the intel chief, the head of security, and the governor. Our general got out of there. Three U.S. military personnel were wounded and have been medevaced. And so I just want to explain, do some explaining, and you can sew in your own comments as well. But explain who's on those PSDs, Mike.
Oh, no, those personal security details. When you're talking about General Scott Miller.
Yep.
These are not military dudes. I mean, they're pretty high up guys. I mean, they're for him it is probably contractors. So they got a contract. Someone's got a contract with some former special forces group that guys get out of the military and they go into these, security contractor deals, gigs, and they get a lot of training. I mean, these are not the run-of-the-mill you security deal. Let's go. No, these guys, they do this for a living and they make great money.
All right. What about, so that's, those are our guys. Probably more importantly are the guys who are doing that for the Afghans.
Those guys are idiots.
Because those guys get multiple attempts on their lives on a regular basis. Talk about them. Did you have any contact with them?
Yeah, I mean, I never, and Jerry Durant, same thing with Jerry. Every time we went into a meeting, I mean, I knew that every time we went into a meeting, I always positioned myself with Jerry. And it was like, and then my mental mind is, okay, I'm going to shoot this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, and probably get a reload in here and then finish with that guy, that guy, that guy, reload and wait for some other people to come through the hallway and then shoot all those guys. And I'd play this out in my head. And then I'd position myself in the room where I could easily do that without shooting, Jerry or, some of the other guys. So it was like, okay. And then I would role play this out. It was just like a scenario. It was like a three-gun shoot. You're like, okay, I'm going to engage that target first, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to transition. Okay, and, because you never trusted those guys. And I never, ever trusted those guys. Ever. Even though if I said, you heard me say like, oh, yes, you're my friend, you're my friend, you're my friend. You're my friend until you cross the line. Then I'm going to put a bullet in your head. And, but I never, those guys were so shady all the time. I mean, and there were situations where, I kind of escalated it because, at one point I remember one guy, he started putting his hands down, like around, and I motioned for him, and I looked and I pointed my hands and I pointed them up, and waved, like clapping them together. Yeah, let me see him. Put him back right here. And they, the international sign of I'm pointing an M4 at you, it's compliance. They know. So, but those guys are, it's run of the mill, man. And, but that's why I said I really didn't want to get into this because I read that and I was like, you know, because this is the Western way of we are never, ever, ever going to understand this. You know why? Because they're Afghans. We're Americans. I don't understand why guys turn on their guys. Okay? Yeah, but I don't understand it. Yeah, me neither. Okay? How much longer do you want to keep not understanding this? You want to keep going with this? Or, you know, gosh darn it, I just don't understand. Okay. This actually drives me insane. It does.
What,
it drives me insane.
What does it? People don't understand that it happened.
No, but people don't understand why this happens. They just want to come, they want to resolve this in their issue, in their mind. Like, I don't understand. Why don't they show loyalty to their own people? Because they're Afghans. And, you know, and if an Afghan guy is listening to me in America, he's like, well, I take offense to that. I'm Afghani. You're an American. You're not living in Afghanistan. You're not in that tribal power means everything, corruption. Because, you know, and I'm not saying this. Iraqis in Iraq were some of the most corrupt people. They made the vendors in Tijuana look like, you know, Boy Scouts.
Yeah, look like conservatives.
Yeah.
Conservative Chamber of Commerce.
You want a class on how to rob someone blind? Go to Iraq. Those guys were professionals at, you know, undercutting deals and getting payouts. Oh, my God. I mean, it was always, we knew in the military, but we couldn't say it. You know, you couldn't write it in your report was, the school cost $100,000. Well, why did you pay $250,000? Well, the $150,000 was a payoff to the provisional governor of that area to make sure that our guys, the Iraqis building the school don't get killed and disappear, get kidnapped, and that the school will remain intact. They don't blow it up as soon as it's done. You know, well, we can't pay bribes. Well, then you're not going to get anything done.
Then, yeah. Then
go, I mean, like, then go well, I don't understand why we got to pay bribes. We got the same person. Okay. Okay. Here, take this hammer and hit yourself on the head with it. Why would I do that? Because it's the same thing that you're doing. I'm just trying to get to the end result quicker by knocking your ass out. I mean, because you don't understand. Guys, it just, like I said, Mac, you don't know how bad this just gets my blood flowing, man.
Well, we, you know, and we talk about it, you know, Mike and I have talked about it, you know, nothing is as it seems, right? So if you just transfer the venue to this thing with the journalist getting yoked up and whatever happened to him, I don't know what happened to him. Here's my point. If you believe the Turks, what the story the Turks are feeding to you, you're stupid. And if you believe the story the Saudis are feeding to you, you're stupid. Right? So you just sit there and you nod your head and you say, okay, and you collect their shit. Right. And then you wait. But I mean, it's laughable what you see on TV where it's like, we're getting reports out of Turkey that they have audio and video. Okay. And I like what the president said. We've asked them for it.
Well, it's the game that, you know, the game.
Yeah. And so it's so foreign to us, you know, it's so foreign to us that whatever you're seeing is an illusion. They're just putting it on so you can see it. It isn't real. It isn't real. And it just, it's not the way we grow up. It's not the way we look at the world. And we are rubes. You know, we're like country bumpkins.
Rubes?
Yokels.
That's an insult to rubes. Yeah.
We're like the most innocent, naive, stupid, you know, and we come, hey, we'll plant pomegranate trees All right. We'll plant pomegranate trees because it's the only crop that comes close to opium in terms of the world market. Okay, who's going to provide security for the pomegranate trees when they come and dump battery acid on them? What?
Who's, why would we have to do that?
Yeah, who's going to pay the farmers the money for 8 years that they would have got for opium to sit and babysit their pomegranate trees? What? Yeah, and is pomegranate going to throw off enough money to pay all the government officials that have to get paid that are getting paid with opium?
Right.
Oh, then it's never going to work. Opium is the only crop that throws off enough money to sustain the economic system they have, which is people at all levels getting bribed. In fact, that's the economic system of most of the world. Just so everybody knows, we get so indignant. Yeah. To include much of the United States, right? Just go to the docks in New Jersey, go to the ports of entry in Long Beach. There's people that fix things there. You pay enough money, your shit gets through. That's a lot like the poppy eradication program in the Helmand Province. All right, you pay your money, and they drive over your field once with a tractor with nothing behind it. It just got eradicated. All the bulbs pop back up. You're in business. Your name got X'd off the list. Your shit got eradicated. Except it didn't. But now we're going to head to Musselman. He doesn't make the same kind of money. He didn't pay his money. His shit gets hammered. We have the little dudes out there with the sticks, and they whack every bulb. Bam, 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 bam. Musselman's crop, no moss.
I didn't pay the bribe.
Yeah, he didn't pay the bribe. That's how it works. You want to know why things happen? We were medevacking all these kids for burns and shit. Jeez, what's happening? Why are all these propane, burns and these oil burns and hot water burns? Because the farmers said they wouldn't plant opium. And the Taliban went around and grabbed, it was mostly girls, because girls aren't worth as much as boys in that culture. And they'd pour oil or burn them with water. And then they shot some 10-year-old girl in the chest. In the chest, double tapped her in the chest. She covered her face and got shot through the forearms into her chest because it was their escalation of force. We burned your kid last time. We're going to shoot your daughter this time. Next time we're coming for a son. Because you say you're not going to grow opium. That's the world of that shit. So, anyhow. All right. But somebody very high up in their personal security detail, dude opens fire inside the room this morning. So bad news coming out of Afghanistan. But good news is our guy got out. And so that's good. Red Sox. Holy shit. What a game last night.
That game scared the living. I mean, I
was laughing.
Bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. And I'm sitting here like, and freaking what's his name comes up the bat. And you're like, oh, for God's sake, please, please. And it's only a 2-run lead. So it's like everything they need to do is win. I mean, the stadium's going crazy, and no one left because they know.
I was laughing. I'm like, he's sitting in his living room watching TV.
Yeah, having an ulcer.
Yelling.
Taking yelling at Cums to keep the acid in my stomach from boiling over.
Yelling at Kimbrel. Oh, my God. It was it was great. It was great. Baseball is agonizing in its pitch-by-pitch drama, and if you love it, it's the best. And last night was incredible theater as the Red Sox go up 3-1, having won the first two games in Houston. So big game tonight. Justin Verlander goes. And do you know who's pitching for the Red Sox yet?
Oh, yeah, I just saw it. I don't remember.
They were.
It was tonight. It is Price and Verlander.
Oh, Price! He was.
Yeah, it's gonna be a battle.
He was warming up in the bullpen last night. So.
He was warming up last night, but he didn't get in.
No,
it's gonna be Battle of the Titans tonight, man.
Yep. So it'll be good. The what'd you think of the call in the first inning? That was a home run, right?
No, and after I saw that, I sent that to you.
Duh,
I said,
come on.
When it hit the wall?
No, when Mookie, when...
Oh, that was yesterday. You didn't answer that one. When it hit the wall yesterday.
No. That was, you jumped, when he jumped. Yeah. Last night, in the first inning, that ball's in the stands, and he goes and gets it.
Yeah, fan interference. Definitely a great call.
No.
Dude, come on. It was a great call.
Hey, when Pedro Martinez says after the game that was a home run, then I think you're on thin ice.
Oh, because Pedro Martinez is what? He's a former baseball player?
No, he is that. He roots for the Red Sox. And he's
a professional umpire?
And he's in the Hall of Fame. And yet Gary Sheffield said the same thing.
They reviewed that in the booth.
Yeah, I don't.
The 92-year-old guy at home in Massachusetts to review the record one more time, and he goes into his roll top desk, turns on his little headlamp, turns to that page, and they read it verbatim, and they're all on speakerphone. Dude, when everybody's like, "Oh yeah, it's a whole no," that was a freaking fan.
That was so bad, I couldn't even believe it. I didn't see the play because I was grilling chicken, and so I didn't see the play until after the game. And then I watched it. I was like, "Oh, how could they get that wrong?" Then I was curious to see
how'd they get that wrong. Come on.
I was curious to see what guys said afterwards. And they said, "That's a home run, man." He goes into the stands, right? He reaches
freaking
over.
Freaking liberals, dude! Don't listen.
No, they still win a game. It doesn't. You can like tell the truth.
Hey,
it doesn't really matter.
A story, but you know, hey, who would have thought the initials JBJ would be a thing? You know,
oh,
again, 9 RBIs, Jackie Bradley Jr.
with 2 outs.
Oh, I mean, it's like. Who is this guy?
He's horrible.
Where's he been?
You know who hasn't played well or hasn't hit is J.D. Martinez. Jackie Bradley Jr. has become J.D. Martinez.
And you know, and I called this.
Oh, shit.
Well, no. Not with Jackie Bradley Jr. Remember when they first signed Andrew Benintendi? And I said, that kid's going to be a great one.
No, I don't remember that.
I did. Yeah, you just. Okay, I'm reviewing it again. Dude, it was not. I'm looking at the dude. That home run.
Stop. He reached.
He put his hand out.
No, he
I'm
reaches.
Watching.
They're in the stadium. They're in the bleachers. He reaches
I'm watching.
In.
No.
You're
no.
Like, I didn't know we were going to be completely delusional. Benintendi makes a great play to end the ball game. How about that?
I told you though. I told you Benintendi is going to be a great one.
God, listen to this. You know what? And it's one
and
of those.
And then he's rooting. You're like, fan. You're the one that cost him that run, you idiot.
Who?
The guy that cost him the run. There's 3 old men. One's in the Astros, and then when he drops it, he's like, yeah. If you wouldn't have stuck your hand out there, it would have been a home run.
No, well, it may or may not have. He may have caught the ball. He may not have. But once it crosses that line, it's the fans. It's their
turn. He crossed the line. You didn't see it from the top down view. You got to have that. You got to have the ability to look in a third dimension like I did.
Every view I saw, and I was so then I saw it. I was like, whoa. But I'll tell you what, big play. You know, it's interesting because. One of the things I say that I learned growing up playing baseball, and again, I was looking at really cool pictures yesterday of when I was a kid in Birmingham, Alabama. There's a stadium there called Rickwood Field that got used in the Negro League, and that's where my dad's team played the Birmingham A's in 1967. And I was 9 and a half years old, and I got to sit in the dugout for the games. That is like heaven for me. I look at pictures of that, and I was looking at it yesterday, and, I mean, that's how I grew up, watching baseball games, sitting in dugouts, watching my dad, and then riding home with him because my mom and my sisters would go home, and then we would go home after he showered and talk to reporters and stuff. And that's where I learned, like, how to watch the little pieces of a ball game and how to keep your head in the game and how to make sure you did the right thing in right situations. And the kid, who's the who's the outfielder, the left fielder for Houston that tried to go to second base on Mookie in the eighth inning. Got thrown out. That guy. Kemp?
Yeah, I know.
His name Kemp?
Oh,
it's a horrible play because you're down three runs. Your run only makes it close. And you've got the possible MVP of the league playing in right field, and you just don't do that. And it's like, you don't know how to play the game, you don't know how to play the game, you don't know how to play the game. And you're like, oh, what are you doing? Yeah, if that was like Mike McNamara out there, yeah, go to second base. That's Mookie. He can play, man. And he threw you out not by a little bit. It wasn't that close of a play at second base. And then they put, the next two guys get on, they score one run, and so you just go, oh. And then the other great play is the play that ends the game. Benintendi, there's never a doubt in his mind that he's catching that ball. You know, when you see the way he moves, he gets after it right away. There's no hesitation, and the only thing he sees is a green light. I'm catching this, I'm catching this, I'm catching this, I'm catching this. And it wasn't even that close. A lot of people said, oh, you know, in that situation, he can't play it like that. If that thing gets by him, you know, that's the ball game. They'll lose. They'll score. They'll clear the bases. It's like, there was never a doubt, though.
Right.
Never a doubt in his mind. He may, and it's a great play. So,
hey, guess who I got a phone call today?
Give me a hint.
Well, I gave you a hint. I texted it to you.
The FBI?
Yeah. And the IRS and Homeland Security. Apparently, they have a headquarters in Barrington, Illinois.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And?
So I had a missed call. I looked at it, and I was like, Barrington, Illinois. Okay, so I called back because I was bored. And I get the, you know, that you can hear all the other callers in the background.
Yeah.
And she says, hello, this is the FBI, IRS, crime prevention fraud department, you know, just like this.
When I'm like, oh, of course. Spoken in good English. Yes.
Yeah. I said, yeah, this is Special Agent Mike calling back. I'm your field operative. And she hung up on me. I was like, oh, okay. So I called back again and got a different guy. And this guy just said FBI. Just FBI. You know, he's a cool guy. FBI. I said, hey, FBI, this is your field agent, special operative, Mike calling back. You called me. And then this guy plays on a little bit. He's like,
over.
Yes, sir. Yes, you have been notified that if you don't, you know, this whole thing about paying whatever amount of money, I never got to that far. But, you know, they're going to have an investigation. I'm going to go to jail. And I said, who am I speaking with? And this guy, you know, Eric or Dave, or I don't remember. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not real name, right? So, I mean, I'm using my real name. I'm taking all the risk here. And so then we're talking about it. And this guy doesn't get it. And I said, hey, listen. I'm your special field operative. How can I be in trouble? I work for you guys. I'm calling to tell you, I got this phone call, and now he's stumped. Like, he didn't know what the frick to say now. Sure. I said, no, just call me Special Agent Mike. I mean, that's my field operative name. So this lasted probably 5 minutes just before I got with you and I was talking to him. I said, put me into contact with one of your supervisors. They know who I am. It's the deep undercover thing, you know? It's a blackout. But they hung up on me. And then the third time when I saw the call back, I'm banned. They blocked my number.
Oh, they
blocked? The nerve.
They blocked you?
Yeah, the nerve.
The nerve of these bastards.
Like, what the hell? What gives them the right to block me? Right?
No, that's is that the Seinfeld one? Remember that episode where he gets cold called, and he said, "Hey, look, I'm tied up. Give me your number. I'll call you right back." And the guy says, "We don't give out our number. Oh, why? Because you don't want people bothering you in the middle, when you're in the middle of something? The guy's like, and he hangs up. But so, wow. Interesting technique you use. Interesting technique.
Right, let me, I want to
role play with you, okay? You ready?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to be a daughter and you're going to be a dad. Okay. I'm 15. I'm a sophomore in high school. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Let's go.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Are we role playing right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, sweetheart. Yes.
I want to ask you about a social media app, a messaging app.
Okay.
Do you think it's okay if I get Snapchat?
Let's sit down. Let's talk about this. Okay. The answer, the quick answer you're looking for is you can do anything you would like to do.
Yes.
But I want you to know this, that through this channel, through this app, if you are not mature enough and you don't understand what you're doing or you get brought into it, you're going to be taken advantage of. So you have that conversation of, do you want to end up as an internet whore?
Dad, internet whore?
Yeah.
No.
Is that what you want to be known as?
I'm your daughter. But
I know you're my daughter. You've always been my daughter, but do you want to be an internet whore?
Of course not.
Okay, then. So I would probably say then, can you? Yes. Do you want to be an internet whore? Then do not do this. If you like the title, then yeah, go for it. Be like all the other popular kids in school and be an internet whore. Or be a respectable young lady and do what's right, because you know what that is.
My response was, the whole basis of Snapchat is that it destroys your messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows what happened.
I said, in pictures, too.
Yeah, it's designed so that you can get away with things that you might not otherwise do. I said, so if who needs an app like that? Anybody who wants to contact you, you have text.
Hide something. Yeah, people that want to hide things need apps like that.
You have text messaging. They can send you a text. You can get WhatsApp. They can send you a message on WhatsApp. There's all kinds of messaging apps. So Snapchat is only for people that are doing things that they don't want other people to see.
And there's a way to capture that information, by the way.
Most of my friends have it, and I said, well, you know, it's 15 years old. You know, I just don't see the answers. No. Question. Well, is it that you don't trust me? Of course not. I trust you. But you're 15 years old. Okay? How much do I trust you? Do I trust you to not verify? President Reagan, who you don't even know, said trust but verify. So I do trust you, but I will. Do you not think I'll check on you? Do you not think I'll supervise you as I've done your brothers and sisters? But I can't supervise that app. Now you tell me I can. So anyway, interesting conversation at 6:47 this morning.
Yeah, actually, I had that conversation a long time ago, but she never did. Could I use that same thing? I mean, so is this what you want to do? You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, yeah, that's what everybody says. I mean, I know you're not the one that's going to say, hey, I want to get on this because I want to send nude pictures of myself.
Yeah. Well, I don't really want to send them.
That's what it'll turn into.
I just want to see the pictures of this other nude pictures and pictures of people's junk that they'll send to me. That's
yeah.
I won't send it.
Oh, so that makes it. Oh, then go right in.
Go right in.
What was I thinking, Barbara?
I'm sorry.
I'm the dumbass here.
Sorry for being the dumbass in the room here.
Yeah. Just do something, you know. Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. You know what's right. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know, I don't have to have that conversation anymore because I've been it got beat out of her when she was young. Oh, go ahead. No, go right ahead. You want your friends to that don't mean anything to you, and you know, within 6 months you're just going to forget who they are because they're going to forget who you are. But you'll do it. You'll try and appease them. Okay, Dad, you're right. Okay, Dad. Okay. So now it's that same way. So you know, she's very critical. I guess the downfall is she's very critical of friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they got. I mean, it's kind of like me. She's a lot like me now, where it's, you know, yeah. God help her.
Exactly. But, now she's not going to have. You know, she's,
they got just a very small window to impress her, and if they don't, out they go.
That's not a bad.
They act stupid anyway.
That's not a bad thing, right?
No, that's a great thing. You know, it sucks being young and doing that. It's much easier when you're older and like, you know, us, and we're wiser and we're a little more ornery to do that. But it sucks when you're young and to have that kind of same vision. You kind of see it. And you're like, yeah, you know what? I don't have time for this.
Or I know, oh, but, or I know where this is going.
Yeah, I know where this is going to go. Right. I mean, and I don't want to, I definitely don't want to say later on in the conversation, Dad, you were right. That's the last thing I want to say. Right?
It shouldn't amaze me, but one of the things I told Colleen was, I said, you know what? I should be surprised, but I'm not, that all your friends have it.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess in order to say no, you might have a confrontation with your kid, and who wants that?
Right. Who wants to be the bad guy?
Yeah. Who wants to have a confrontation with your kid over Snapchat? Oh, my God. Can you imagine how horrible that's going to be? Yeah. I don't.
Hey, do you see my picture? I just sent you, saved my, shared my.
Screen?
Yeah. Do you see it?
No.
Okay.
Hold on. I will. Simple. See, I'm not a mean person. What am I looking at? I'm looking at this. Some people say I'm not a mean person, but it's not true. I have the heart of a sweet girl in a jar on my desk, and there's a picture of a jar with a heart in there. Nice, nice, nice. You know what? I just you know, for parents, it's not easy. It's for most parents that aren't used to say no, and you know all the other kids are doing it. I mean, for me, it's not hard at all. No, is the answer. No. So anyway, did you happen to watch or listen to the Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House?
No.
It is awesome. There's a
I saw. I mean, I saw the video. I saw a little bit of it. It's like. Yeah, and it was. I mean, it was pretty cool.
No, it's funny because it's loud and it's a little bit rowdy, and it's in the spirit of the Marine Corps. It is. It's in the incredible enlisted experience of the Marine Corps, and they're whooping and hollering and hoorahing, and Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Dunford, General Kelly. And a whole bunch of guys from Alpha 1-1 that fought in Hawaii. It's awesome. It's awesome. So if you, I said this earlier, I played the audio earlier. If you haven't seen it, by all means watch it. It'll bring a tear to your eye and make you smile and laugh all at the same time. It's very, very cool. What else is going on? You have, so you're fired up. The Red Sox are in charge of that series. I'm surprised. Houston's supposed to have better pitching, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't pitched well, right? Jackie Bradley is now Babe Ruth, you know, and so and the Red Sox
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought that? And the Red Sox are up 3-1. And
and you know what else is a small role?
What?
Dave Jobe.
What?
Dave Jobe. Sergeant Major at 1st Marine Division when I was the gunner. We all worked with Larry Nicholson.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So Dave just retired from the Marine Corps. He had like a, two more years in, left to do 30. And so Dave Job is like Zikafoos, and they all know each other. Zikafoos knows Job.
Mafia.
Yeah, but they're that kind of guy.
Mike, explain the mafia. In the mafia, everybody knows each other. Like, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? Do you know this
guy? Well, then everybody's got that. The major mafia, the captain mafia, the lieutenant mafia, the gunner mafia, the lance corporal mafia. Every rank knows, like, if you're somebody within that, like, all the lieutenants, they know this guy. All the captains, they know, like, when Bronzy was the captain, everybody knew Bronzy as a captain. You know, so as you rank up, you stay within that group, and mostly they're peers, guys that are similar to you. And it's like, you know, Mac and I, you and I have talked about it, you know, like we knew of each other much earlier before we actually met, or you know people and you meet somebody for the first time and you're like, hey, I heard of you, you know, like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, Bronzy or Clay and all these guys say you're a great dude. So what do they, if they all say he's a great dude, he's a great dude. If you run in the same circles, like if you say, hey, who's your friends? Oh, my friends are, you know, Bronzy, Ellison, Wartman. Hey, okay, stop right there. You're good. Come on in.
Yeah. Why don't I know you already?
Yeah.
Because those are my friends. And it's, for instance, Mike and I have a mutual friend. Name's escaping me, Mike. I didn't meet him, but we had all the same friends. CO of 1st Marine Regiment after Colonel Furness was
Pete Bunker.
The guy after him, your buddy, you call by his first name all the time.
Billy
McCullough. So Billy McCullough and
I call him by your first name.
I've
called Billy since I first met him. Billy.
90, we know like 90% of each other's friends, but I had never met him till I was a retiring officer at a retirement for a staff sergeant in the 1st Marine Regiment, and went up there, and he walks up, and I stood up, and I said, Colonel McCullough, and he goes, Mac, and we'd never met. But it's interesting because you perform your way into that circle.
Right,
It's a circle of great guys. That's why when Mike just said, you know, he's in the same circle as Zikafoos and you're like, he's a player. He's a baller. He's an adult. He's the adult in the room when you sit in there.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
He's a guy that, you don't have to sit there and explain it to him. He gets it because he thinks the same way.
Right.
You're on the same wavelength.
How many years did you do? Did you get out of 30 or did you do more?
31. Actually, pay grade wise. Yeah. Hmm. Well, because I went over like, you know, a little bit. So they always round up.
Oh, they round up. So if you do 30 years in a month, it's 31?
Well, for me, it was because of my pay purpose, because I came in on the delayed entry program. Right? So my delayed entry, my time that I sat as a poolie and a guy before I joined the Marine Corps, the deal was it counts for my pay purposes.
That's a scam and a half.
Yeah, that's when they stopped it right away. someone made a fatal error, and then they're like, people start getting in and start taking advantage, it's like, wait a second, we're paying this guy as a PFC and he's as 2 years in the Marine Corps for pay purposes. He's getting an extra $35 a year.
Yep.
This shit's got to stop.
Got to put our foot down on this shit.
Yeah, and so, but then they did. So, but we're grandfathered in. So, woo-hoo, party at my house.
All right. So anyway, the sergeant major retires.
So he retires, and I get this, and I haven't talked to him since I retired. I get this, hey, Mike, are you in Granbury, Texas?
Mm-hmm. I said,
yes, sir. I'm alive and well in Granbury, Texas. Hey, I'm in Illinois until Saturday, but I live in Godley, Texas. I say, what the fuck? Because Godley's like 10 minutes away, man. And so we look at, I look at his Facebook thing, his profile, because I don't go on there much. But when I did, I looked on there and old Dave had lunch at the filling station in downtown Granbury, like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what the hell? First of all, you're eating at a not so good place, like I thought. But, for, you know, second of all, like, what the hell?
Did you not know where he, is he from Texas? Did you not know where he was going to retire?
No, I knew Job was from Texas, but I didn't know he was from, well, I don't think he's from Godley. I know he's around, because when I bought this place, I was still on active duty. I was still at the division. And, you know, I was in the chief's office one day. And it was just before my retirement. And I said, he's like, hey, where are you moving to? I said, Granbury, Texas. And Job, you know, Job's kind of like me. He's a joker, but he can be serious right away. So he's like, what the? And, you know, he goes, yeah, you know, I know where that's at. And so we talked about it. Booker's out here. Do you know Sergeant Booker?
Yeah, Jim Booker. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you remember in Ramadi, we were in Ramadi, and Booker got an M14 from, who did he get the M14 from? Army
from EOD or something like that.
Yeah, Army dudes got it from. So they get shot at one night going downtown, and Booker smokes a guy. Sergeant Major of a battalion smokes a guy, and it gets into what is known as a SIG event. So SIG events
with an M14.
Yeah, with the M14 in the offhand position. Okay. So that goes out as a SIG event. SIG events are like news bulletins in the battle space. They're operational things that happen. SIG event. Poof. This thing goes out, and everybody's like, oh, shit, Sergeant Major. Now everybody's looking at the other Sergeant Major's like, yeah, all right, Sergeant Major, but Sergeant Major Booker smoked a dude in the offhand last night, just so you know. What? What? Damn, Booker. What is he doing? But
he was using an M14, though. So he was cheating.
He was cheating. So what does that mean? Get me an M14.
Well, it didn't happen like that. But there are a couple guys that actually, you know, did try it. You know, like, oh, here we go. Here we go. The stupid games. The stupid marathon starts. No.
Exactly. So, no, it was, yeah, Jim Booker. He's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Real good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. But living down there. Living down south of you, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he lives a little bit more south of me.
Yeah, no. These are awesome, awesome, awesome guys. And who really genuinely give a shit about people. And
yeah, because, I mean, Job, I thought was going to be, I thought he was going to be my biggest problem when we were, when I was trying to do the staff NCO, thing with the going back to schools and learn, you know, and all this stuff. I thought, man, here's my biggest, he's going to be my biggest guy I'm going to have to fight against. And so when I pitched it to the general and Job was in there and I didn't go to Job first and he looked at me and I said, what do you think? And he goes, I'm pissed. And I said, at this? And he goes, no, I'm pissed at my own guys because they can't solve that. You got to do this. You know, that we can't solve this ourselves. We can't come to, so now it's at the general level. And he talked to him. And, you know, all the sub majors came to him and was the same thing, like, hey, sub major, the division gunner is getting into our, you know, under our rice bowls about doing this. And he said, hey, because you dropped the ball. You didn't give a shit. That's why he's doing it. You want it back? Get involved. Don't come bitching to me. And I was like, that's a good guy. Because guys in the past would have said, oh, let me have a talk with them, you know. Let me square the young buck away. I actually had a sergeant major say that to me one time. It's,
what?
When I was, you know, we were talking about something, and he said, he didn't use the word young buck, but he said about time, you know, like time and service. And I said, excuse me? And he wasn't an infantry guy. And I said, what are you implying, Sergeant Major? And he said, well, I'm just saying there, Gunner, that, you know, sometimes things come with experience. So, I mean, you've got to take, you know, and I'm like, what? I said, At least you're not an infantry guy.
At least he left the word boot out.
Well, it was like that. You're not an infantry guy. I don't think that has anything to do with this. Yeah, because you're implying that I'm a junior guy. Well, and then see, he came from the aviation area, so you know, you could be a chief warrant, you could be a warrant officer with 8 years in the Marine Corps. You know, you can apply to be a warrant officer with 8 years in the Marine Corps in the regular Marine Corps. That's true. So you rise to the ranks. So you could be a sergeant major and be and had a lot more time than, you know, a chief warrant officer in the Marine Corps, right? So you could be a staff sergeant and had more time in the Marine Corps than a chief warrant officer.
But his point is
that he didn't know he was talking to a gunner. The difference, minimum, the bare minimum to even be considered to be in the program, you have to have 16 years time of service.
Oops.
Bare minimum.
Oops.
Most guys, 17, 18 years. Most guys, E8s.
Oops.
You know, so... You know, so I look at him, listening to him talk, I'm giving the rope. Here. Emballe, keep giving the rope. You know, boop, 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 boop. And then finally you do the quick, you know, like I said, hey, Sergeant Major.
I came in
the Marine Corps just about 1984. Where were you at in 1984? You did what, sir? I came out, gunner. You did what, sir? When were you? Where were you doing in 1984, 1985?
Earning his waivers.
No, and then that's where it was like, oh, I didn't know you'd been in that long. Where were you at? Well, I was just getting into middle school. Oh. You were hopping out of the back of a school bus when I was hopping out of the back of a freaking helicopter.
Exactly. So, out on the frontiers of democracy facing the Soviet menace. You were out earning your waivers.
So I said, the difference is, Sergeant Major, I know that you guys, so shut your mouth. Those guys. Ugh.
Yeah, because the only thing they want to stop is somebody infringing on their rice bowl, right? Not because it's not the right thing to do, okay?
It makes more work for them.
Yeah, it's because, right, I don't want you to mess with my rice bowl, and don't tell me my rice bowl's fucked up, and all the way that enlisted education got to be the way it was, and that guys like Mike, I mean, honestly, I don't like to give you too many compliments, but, I mean, there are not too many people that would go rock that one. Just like, yeah, my dog ain't in that fight. I got mine, right? I'm a gunner now. I got what I wanted. I'm not going to go back, and the only thing
I was not in the business of making friends, and I became a gunner, man. People said that. They're like, dude, do you want friends? Nah, they're overrated.
The only thing, right, that you get when you wrestle with a pig is you get dirty.
You get dirt. Muddy.
Yeah. And so,
but I did.
Yeah, but I mean, there's not too many people.
When I wrestle with pigs.
There's not too many people that I know that would wrestle with that pig. The senior enlisted pig,
that's a dirty pig.
Yeah, people do not. It's a powerful dirty pig, too. You know, you make those enemies at that level, at some point, one of them's going to get it broken off in your ass. So guys, don't do it. And it doesn't matter if they're the broken part of the Marine Corps or not. You know, we're just going to nod our head and act like they're not.
But I was like Jonah and Van Ark. I had righteous on my side.
Nice.
You like that? I was righteous in my duties.
Well, the cool part was, though, that, you know, you had been one, and you were a good one. And so you could call their baby ugly. You know, you didn't have, officers don't do that, even though they know it's what's wrong. So.
Yeah, officers for the most part really upset me. Because they always looked for the scapegoat. They never ever wanted to wrestle a pig, and because, you know, you get dirty. But you know, Jeff and I had
Okay.
Had a real gunner big conversation.
Gunner,
we've had him on here.
Gunner Eby, yep.
Yeah. We had a big conversation one time with a guy because he said to us about policing our own. Because there was a gunner in his battalion. He was like a battalion commander, and he said something, you know, derogatory about the gunner wasn't the best of gunners. We knew that. And so he said to us, he's a colonel now, and he said to us, you guys got to do a little bit better about policing your own, you know, getting these right, rah, 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 rah. Being a pompous ass, because he thought that, you know, he's command selected. Shit, hand of God came down and touched him. So we listened to him for a little bit and then broke it off. Listen, hey, Colonel. And we didn't even mention his, you know, don't even mention his name at that point. Do the, hey, Colonel, let's set the record straight. First of all, it was guys like you that sat on his board and selected him to be one of us. And then it was guys like you that directed us at the TBS level to train guys like that. And then it was guys like you that sit on his promotion board and get him promoted. Then it's guys like you that sit in positions that write hidden fitness report and don't have the moral courage to call somebody out and to shoot somebody in the head when they need to get shot in the head. So don't come looking to us, because we do a pretty good job of eating our own. When it's your people, your kind, you regular officers, that don't have the moral courage to do what's right for the good of the Corps. And that doesn't go with, and we said that a lot with a lot of guys, you know, first sergeant, sergeant majors. I'd always run into guys and like, oh yeah, my sergeant major. I'm like, what'd you do about it? Nothing. Yeah. Coward. I see you got a medal of bravery here. You ran in front, you know, and did something brave that someone thought that was, you know, displayed some kind of valor or courageous merit on the battlefield. But you can't do it with a piece of paper. Can't look at somebody in the eye and tell them and be truthful and say, you know what? You just don't cut it, man. Can't have you on the team.
That's tough, man. It's tough because he probably has a sergeant major standing right next to him say, you know, sir, you really can't jam him. He's done everything we asked him, and we didn't count.
Hey, sergeant major, you say that one more time, I'm going to jam you with him.
Yeah, but hey, that's, let me just tell you, guys don't do that.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They will not take on senior staff NCOs.
That's the problem, man.
Yeah.
That is a big problem. And Job was not one of those guys. Job would take on his own kind. He'd eat his own.
Mike was too. The first time I heard his little the little thing that he would do about staff and COs, I was like, whoa! First of all, it was funny as hell. Second of all, it was true. It was true on top of true, on top of true, on top of true. And I remember thinking, nobody does that shit in public. I gotta get him to do that again. That was awesome.
Yeah, but they stopped doing that now. I mean,
what?
They stopped holding them accountable.
Too hard. Too hard.
Yeah, it is. Well, because it's a mafia. Like you said, it's a mafia. It's
hard. No, it's hard. Yeah. Being better is hard, right? Being better is hard, and so. It is what it is. All right. Good luck tonight.
Yeah. Go Sox, baby. 7 o'clock.
Are you wearing your onesie? Are you you just relax, trying to relax and take your antacids during the game?
I think if they allow me, I'm going to place all my Boston memorabilia all over the place, right around the TV. The power of swag is going to be out.
You're going to need it. Justin Verlander's pitching. He's been lights out the last two
games. Yeah, but Price is pretty,
Price sucks compared to Verlander. He did, let me tell you, he never won a game in the postseason. He gave up 5 runs in four innings.
Tonight's the night, baby. JBJ.
Oh, my God.
You give me a freaking ulcer again. I gotta go take some
time. No, it's awesome. Hey, can you imagine, though, to sit there, like, and your dad's the manager of one of the teams, Let me tell you, it is absolutely no fun. It is miserable. The whole sitting there.
Dude, like I said, I'd be
your stomach's in a knot the whole.
Yeah, time. I'd be down in freaking Tums like they were candy, like throat lozenges.
Oh no! It was
giving him all that acid.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. In fact, I was thinking about you last night. I'm like, I could just hear him.
Oh,
yeah, I could just hear. It might have been when Kimbrel walked the second guy. No, when he when he walked the dude that brought up Brugman, I was like, I could hear you scream. No!
You've been in our house, so I'm sitting on the sofa on the corner where I normally sit. I get up from there and I walk to the front door and back, and I'm back. I'm just doing the. Because, everybody's getting to sleep, and I'm like, I'm sitting there just like, doing that.
It's 11:15 at night. Mike's losing his mind. No, great drama, though. Oh. Great drama. So it ought to be on again in Houston. So, all right, man.
Yeah, tonight's because tonight's lights out, man. They win. Game over. World Series.
World Series is next. All right.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's 3-1.
Dodgers up in the National League, 3-2. 3-2. All right. Have a good day. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Go Sox.
Go Sox.
Go Sox.
Go Sox. Yikes. Email. Mac, you said you were going to talk about baseball, but you didn't until just recently. You know what I was going to say? In the Dodger series, Milwaukee's manager, a smart guy named Craig Counsell, and he's taken a lot of grief for gamesmanship, having a pitcher pitch to one hitter. He walked him in yesterday's game, and then he replaced him. Never intended to let him pitch more than one hitter. But, all these analytics in baseball, Baseball Now, analyzes everything. Spin rate on the ball. Okay? Not just velocity, but how much the ball's spinning, which is an indicator of movement. Okay? Yeah. That's what baseball's got going. Launch angle, right? Not RBIs so much. Not batting average. Launch angle. And so you have all this stuff. Shifts in baseball now are crazy. Interestingly enough, in both games yesterday, launch angles and home runs in analytical baseball and strikeouts are all part of it, right? You had both the Dodgers in the first game and the Red Sox in the second game playing old school baseball. They stopped trying to hit home runs, and they were hitting pitches the other way. Pretty interesting. But the whole Craig Counsell starting pitcher thing, to me, why not? If you can get them to waste a player or two, and then you're going to turn it around and bring in somebody else, and they play those matchups, and you get them to spend one or two options, why not? Right? Oh, because you're messing with the analytics, and that's not... Oh, wait. Who says the analytics get to run the show? The rule doesn't prohibit me from doing that, right? Then shut it. Make your moves. This is just another move. So, yeah, the starting pitcher in baseball, I won't say they're on the endangered species list, but they are... But they're not what they used to be. Maybe your number one and two are, but your number three isn't anymore. Your number four and five? No. So anyway. Biggest story going on, and we'll recap it here in the next hour, is in Afghanistan. General Miller attending a conference in Kandahar in which somebody in a personal security detachment for either the governor, the security chief of the province, or the intelligence chief opened fire inside the meeting. killing the governor, the chief, and the security chief and the intelligence chief. I'm sure others were killed as well. General Miller was in there. He survived, and three U.S. military personnel were supposed to be, were wounded, evidently. So that's not a good thing. Anyway, you'll hear about that. Have a great afternoon. And then you'll also hear, if you haven't heard it already, it's awesome. You'll also hear the Medal of Honor ceremony at the White House yesterday. It's rowdy. It's awesome. Marines are there in force, whooping it up. Love it. And then Napa man. He's at the installation formerly known as Fighter Town. No longer Fighter Town. Maverick used to haunt that place. He and Kelly McGillis. Yep. So you'll, and then after that, you'll hear, I think, a really interesting press conference with General Dunford. And I love listening to him when he goes long format. You could be the smartest guy in the room when he talks about, he used a term today that I'd never heard. He said, I think they're calling it atomized now. Yeah. So they've lost the caliphate. They haven't just broke them up. They've atomized, which means they've scattered to onesies and twosies. There's a little term for you. Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll hear transnational all the time relative to terrorist organizations. So jump up and make you smart about that. And so that's about 40 minutes. So that's hour two. And then the gunner. And then we talk about to the gunner about personal security details and who mans them at that level. But even for Afghan people, those guys are heavily scrutinized to come on. That's, first of all, it's a pretty good life. It's great money. And you're going to get tested because those guys have their lives. I mean, they're alive. They were killed today. Those guys have survived multiple attempts on their lives over the course of the years to be involved in Afghan politics. So have a great day. On a Thursday, Almarin Radio. Over and out.